Something for the weekend. It's Trina Mara here, and in studio we've got a lady who's been in before on the show, but with such great crack we said we'll definitely have her back. Eimear Morrissey, good morning.
Good morning.
You're hobbling around today though. What happened to you?
Oh, I know. Stop. I twisted my ankle. I was beside the car. I parked it in the morning. It was like this shore and there was a little dip in it. And I said to myself, oh, you know what? Somebody's really going to hurt themselves there. And I didn't, obviously, that morning. And then when I got in the car later on, I was closing the back door and I twisted it. So it'll be fine. I'm just being very cautious because we start rehearsal soon.
Oh, no.
But it's all good. It's all good.
So you're on crutches and everything.
Yeah, but like they'll be going very soon. It was very funny. I went into the physio and he's like, oh, an injury like this could take whatever amount of time. And I'm like, yeah, yeah. And so he's saying, you know, it won't take long before you're putting all your weight on it. And I was like, oh, great, like 3 days. And he was like, well, I wouldn't have said 3 days. I'm like, no, you've got 3 days.
I literally have a few hours for this to repair itself. So what can you do for me?
So I'm just being very well behaved. I am not the type of person to sit down. And I have spent the last 3 days watching Homeland. I had two series left of Homeland and I have caught up on all of it.
Oh, brilliant, brilliant. Isn't it so embarrassing when things like that happen? You kind of go, oh, geez, I'm going to get someone to help me here.
I know. It happened and it was like, I was okay afterwards. And there was someone with me, which wasn't too bad. And I just was like, oh, this is painful. And it kind of went, it was fine. And then I went to see a show that night, Holy Show, which is going to Edinburgh. And it's brilliant. If anyone's listening who's going to Edinburgh, go and check it out. It's brilliant. I was with that night and I was sitting there and on my way there, it was like, oh, I probably shouldn't really be walking on this. And then at the show it was like, uh oh. But now, like, because I'm on crutches and I have a boot, people are like, oh god, what happened? And you're just like, well, it's just a sprain. Like,
dramatise it, milk it while you can, get people to make you coffee and, you know, give you lifts everywhere.
Thank you for making the coffee.
Yeah, no problem.
And carrying my cup in.
It happened to me a while ago actually. We went actually for on our lunch break around to the pub around the corner and I fell on the step coming out. My fault completely. But the thing is, I was there, I'd left them all inside. They didn't know that I'd fallen. I'm lying on the street, there's nobody to help me. And anyone who did walk past obviously thought that I was some drunk falling out of a bar. And all of a sudden I was like, I had an orange juice, I swear. You know, so yeah, but anyway, look, live to tell the tale. So listen, we're back and the great news is you're back because Tinder is back as well. That was what we were talking about the last time you were in studio, which was when?
It was October, November. It was October. We finished October. So it was end of September, start of October. And we did, I think it was about 5 weeks in the Tivoli. And yeah, that's when I was in. And then, since then, we've also brought it to the UK. So we were on tour in the...
We were on tour in the UK.
And that went really well. That was like a different theatre every day. And it went down. Like, we were kind of saying, oh, you know, Tinder is ultimately about friendship. It's loads of fun. It's about three mates who like know each other years and they are navigating dating. So, oh, that rhymes. And they basically, one of the characters, my character Maz, is unlucky in love and has been for a very long time. Mm. And they want to get her a date for Kaz's weddings because Kaz is getting married. So there's also another character called Shaz and she's the ultimate Tinderella.
Kaz and Shaz, okay.
Kaz, Shaz and Maz, yeah.
Right, okay.
That's us. And so Shaz decides to introduce my character Maz to Tinder. It's an education itself. Like last time I was in with you, I was telling you about all the different...
the terminology, which I need to ask you about again.
There's
to remind
more.
Us. There's more.
So I was listening to this podcast the other day, Private Education, and they were talking about dating and I was like, I'm going to know all these buzzwords. I'm like, I'm going to know all of this. Oh, no, no. Since October, the vocabulary has nearly tripled.
Is Tinder still as big now? You know, are people still using Tinder or are they a little bit getting fed up?
I think people are getting fed up with Tinder. Not the show, because it's brilliant.
Yeah, the show's obviously amazing. Go see it. Where can we get tickets?
But I think people are getting fed up with Tinder because it's very much Tinder, like it's like and not like and, you know, and I get it and it's based on your picture and then you may be chatting. I find people on Tinder are looking for pen pals. So I graduated to Bumble recently.
Okay, what's that?
Bumble is...
I'm so clueless, Eimear.
Oh, well, look, isn't it great that you don't need to know these things? So Bumble is where when you match, if you both like each other, the girl has to make the first contact. The guys can't send you anything unless you make first contact and you only have 24 hours to make contact. So it has a bit of a sense of urgency about it.
Okay, so there's a small window and if you see your man that you want, you have to get in there.
You have to get in there.
It's kind of like real life.
A little bit, yeah. Mm. There's another app I've only recently learned of because obviously I'm doing my research called Hinge.
Okay, and explain that. How does that one work, so, or how is that different?
Hinge is almost like, now somebody described this to me, and I was like, no, I don't get it. But it's almost like Instagram. So basically you have a collection of maybe 6 or 7 photographs, and maybe you answer like 4 or 5 questions. Like, you know, your perfect date would be something you might like about me is, or a quick random stuff, right? And you answer the questions and they're there. And so you don't like or dislike a person. You like some element of their profile. So either you like their comment or you like one of their pictures and you reply to it.
Okay.
And then if you reply to it, like, so say someone replied to something on mine and then they could put a comment. If I like them, I can click match and that means we can contact each other. Otherwise, we can only just comment. Now, you're not publicly commenting, like, mm-hmm. on Instagram. It's like you're basically responding to something. But if you don't like anything on their profile, you can't press an X.
This sounds like hard work. A lot of hard work.
It is.
Talk me through the terminology then, the dating terminology. We spoke about a few of these. Ghosting, I remember you mentioned before.
Yeah.
What's that?
So ghosting is when you are chatting to someone and they just disappear.
Okay, so they die. You have to check RIP.ie.
Pretty much, yeah. Now then there's zombieing, which is if someone has ghosted you, they just kind of come back as if nothing has happened. So like they might stop texting you and then like 2 months later be like, hey, how are you? As if like nothing had happened.
Right, okay.
Yeah. There's now haunting.
Haunting?
Yeah, which apparently is when you, I think it's like when you finish with someone or it doesn't work out with someone, but yet they're still looking at your Insta stories. Or
okay. They're like, stalking you, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. They're haunting you.
So how do you know that they're looking? You can see it. It comes up on your page.
If they like your pictures, you see it. But on Insta stories, when you share a story, you can see who's, like, you have to want to be looking to see. But, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes the last 3 people pop up down the bottom left. And if it's someone that you don't, like, or someone that you wouldn't expect looking, you might go, oh,
okay.
What?
That kind of sounds to me like years ago, you know, when you'd accidentally ring the ex. I pocket dialed you there, but really you just want to get into the chat.
Probably just poking the bear a little bit. Yeah, trying to be like, oh, yeah, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Never thought of that one. And then there's like soft ghosting.
What?
Yeah, right. So it's, or is that called kitten ghost? Something kittening, I can't remember what that one is. Soft ghosting is basically when you decide to, instead of just completely cutting it off, you do this thing where you're kind of breadcrumbing them, which is giving them a little bit. So you're gently easing them out.
That's another term, by the way, breadcrumbing.
Yeah, it's kind of keeping someone interested, just giving them a few crumbs and keeping it going.
There's something called kitten fishing here.
That's what it is. Look that up and tell me what that is.
Okay, hang on a second. A guide to modern dating. Imagine having to Google this.
I'm so out of touch.
No,
but isn't it good that you just don't know these things? I kind of wish they weren't relevant to me either.
Okay, there's something called zombieing we covered.
Yeah.
Slow fade.
Slow fade is also what's called soft ghosting.
Okay, we have something called stashing.
Don't know that one.
It occurs when the person you're dating doesn't introduce you to their friends or their family. Oh my God, I know the story about this. Doesn't introduce you to the friends or family and doesn't post about you on social media. So you exist in their world, but nobody knows that you
exist.
What's
that called?
It's called stashing.
Stashing.
They're stashing you away. They don't want anybody knowing about you. That makes you think that they're embarrassed by you.
Maz does that. Maz does that in the show. Well, she doesn't. It's mainly because Horse Alito, the guy that she matches with, doesn't want to meet her friends. But there's a little bit of that.
Okay, now hang on a second. There's another thing here called...
Have you heard about micro-cheating?
No.
Okay, so micro-cheating is the term for small things that you do that could have whispers of infidelity. So I just had to Google that here. I had to reacquaint myself with the term, sure, you know. So basically, it's like if you're overtly flirting with someone, or maybe you're going out with someone and you're not actually... I mean, everyone flirts. But I think micro-cheating is like literally when the flirting maybe goes a little bit too far. And you know you probably shouldn't be doing it, but you still do it.
Micro-cheating. So kitten fishing, I found it here, Emer. So it is a step on from catfishing, which is when online daters pretend to be somebody that they're not. Kitten fishers, on the other hand, use out-of-date or misleading pictures to lure in potential partners, presenting themselves in an unrealistic light so they can be photoshopped photographs, getting rid of the telltale wrinkles. It's like putting up a photograph of you when you're 21 and you're actually 42.
So many people do it. Like, like the beauty about being able to put up a couple of pictures, you're kind of looking at it and you go, oh, you know... There was somebody recently, and I was at the Spice Girls with a friend of mine, and I was on Bumble or Tinder or one of them, and we were kind of going through it. We'd pre-drinks. I was out with my friend Rebecca, and I said, oh, I think I like him. And then I look, click the first picture. It was a good picture. Obviously, yeah. Like nobody is as good looking as their Facebook photo.
Of course, we should see mine.
Or as bad looking as their driver's license.
Have you seen my Twitter profile picture?
No.
I don't look like that. Hang on, I'll show you.
Is it a good makeup job?
It was, we were going to the Radio Awards that night, oh, so you can imagine.
Of course.
Hang on, here it is.
I mean, when else would you use these photographs?
I mean, I don't look like that.
I don't know. Very ridey. You're looking great.
Thanks. Okay, so tell me the story about the Spice Girls.
Oh, so anyway, so we're going on our way to the Spice Girls and we're having a couple of drinks and we were having the chats and I was on Bumble and this guy pops up on his first picture. Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. And then the second picture, I went, oh, doesn't look like the first picture. And I was like, yeah, I don't know. Like, because I'm clear, I put my best pictures forward as
of
well.
Of course.
But I also, there's one or two with no makeup on, so people really know what they're letting themselves in for.
Yeah.
And my mate was like, just swipe. Go on, give them a click or whatever it was. Uh-huh. And I did. And there was a potential kind of match in it, but like nothing. I'm still single. And the Spice Girls wasn't that long ago. But yeah, so it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, there he was with his 6 grandchildren. Picture number 2.
I know. But it's just so funny. And everything is completely subjective. And also, when you meet someone in real life and you put a voice and movement to the face, it totally changes it.
Totally does. Yeah.
And like, I'm an absolute sucker for someone's personality. You know what I mean? Like, for me, it very much is if you can make me laugh and if we can have the chats and you can also kind of have an intellectual conversation or challenge me or that you can have a nice, decent debate, then I'm all for that.
Yeah. Like, what puts you off then, Emer?
How long have you got?
Like, I cannot stand the cockiness in some guys.
Yeah.
The type that think that, you know, the flash and the cash is going to impress you.
Oh, no, absolutely. That a big no-no. Or people who are like indecisive. Not even indecisive. Because I was having this discussion with another mate of mine not too long ago. They were like, oh no, you don't like just indecisive people. I'm like, that's not it. What drives me bonkers is you agree to meet somebody. Or they're like, okay, we're going to go for dinner. Great. Leave it with me. I'll book somewhere. And you go, okay, fine. Because I'm the type of person, if I say something, I will follow through on it, right? And then they come back to you a couple of days later and they're like, so yeah, we're going out whatever day. Where do you want to go? Fine, like totally reasonable.
Yeah.
And then they make you decide everything. I was like, yeah. Just be a bit like, I want someone to take initiative, be a bit spontaneous. Uh-huh. That would be a turn off. Or another turn off would be just if they've no banter.
Nothing to talk about. Or a list of topics to talk about on the date. And then when that runs out, they don't know what to be saying to you.
I went on a date years ago. I think it was someone I met. I actually met them on a night out. That'll tell you how long ago it was. We'd met on a night out.
Because what? Do you not go out anymore?
No, you don't meet people on nights out anymore. And then we met on a night out and we were going for... It turned out we lived like close to each other. So we were meeting in the local pub for an ale pint. And I think he was from the north. Oh, I can't even remember his name. But anyway, a friend of mine dropped me. It was just down to the local pub. A friend of mine dropped me off. Jokingly, my mate Mark turned around to me and he's like, look, whatever you do, don't talk about towels. And I was like, what? But myself and Mark would have this bonkers kind of banter anyway. And he's like, just don't talk about towels. And immediately I just had this like image of like a hot press full of towels and blah, 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 you know. And I said, Mark, you know now that I'm going to have to try and fit towels into the conversation for the crack. And he was like, don't talk about towels. If you're talking about towels, the date's going to be a disaster. And we were laughing and whatever. So anytime I go on a first date now that I remember that story, I try and bring towels in for myself. People are probably like, oh, her, the one who was talking about towels. But like casually, not like full on, let's have a discussion.
Come here, I remember when you were talking about a guy that you had met. Was it on Tinder? And that you were trying to track him down. Did anything come of that?
No, nothing came of that.
Ah, damn.
I know.
I think we thought that he lived in Limerick or something like that.
Cork, yeah. Trained to be a pilot in Dublin.
And we never tracked him down.
I can't even remember his name. What had happened was the girls had taken my phone in rehearsals and they had swiped right in a load of people and it was him and... We had been chatting, but it was opening night week, and it was a bit mental, and we were previewing and stuff. And after opening night, I said, "Right, okay." I sat down. I was like, went out for dinner with my pals, and I said, "Right, I'm gonna send this guy a message." And he had unmatched me, so obviously I'd waited too long, which is fair. And technically, I probably ghosted him, but I didn't do it intentionally.
Yeah,
you know.
So come here. All these months later, you say you're still single.
Yeah.
Do you care?
Not really.
No, no.
I mean, you know, yes, I do and I don't. Of course, I'd love to. I've been single for a while. I would love to kind of have somebody. But also, I'm loving my life. I can do what I want. Not that you can't when you're in a relationship.
But you don't have anybody to answer to at all.
That's true. But like, I wouldn't mind a bit of like kissing and stuff.
Giggity, giggity. So, Emer, tell us, who is in Tinder, a musical comedy,
yes,
which is what they've called it, Tinder musical comedy. Who's in it this time around? Is it the same people?
So it is. We had, so it's myself, Rachel O'Connell and Aisling Breen are in it. We did it in the Tivoli in October. We went on tour to the UK and Lindsay Co-op played the part of Kaz instead of Rachel. But now it's back to myself, Aisling and Rachel. And Rachel's actually in Coppers the Musical at the moment. So she's coming out of that into rehearsals and then straight into Tinder.
Wow. So where is this one on?
It's on in the Olympia.
That's what I was going to say, because the Tivoli is gone.
The Tivoli is no more. I think we were away on tour in the UK when people were sending pictures of it being levelled.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just, it's so sad, like, that another theatre is gone.
Are they building apartments or something there now?
Oh, I think there's like a boutique hotel and a shopping complex and that kind of thing going in there. So, what I loved about the Tivoli, apart from I loved the Tivoli, there was a pub across the road called the Liberty Bell.
And always a pub when Emer comes in. Always manages to mention a pub somehow.
Yeah, well, the Liberty Bell, like, we'd probably be stationed in Brogan's now after this one, but the Liberty Bell was great crack, and they used to do like karaoke nights and stuff, and it would be the same people in the pub every night. They were all locals and we had the crack with them and it was really chilled and you go in and have a pint. So, but yeah, no Tivoli, so no Liberty Bell.
Okay, but the Olympia is lovely and easy to get to.
It is, straight on Dame Street, and I've never played in the Olympia before. I've worked on shows that have been in there, but I haven't been on stage in the Olympia, so I'm very, very excited about it.
Yeah, I believe it's haunted now, so you want to be careful backstage.
Everywhere is haunted.
Is it?
Do you reckon? There's a story for every theatre, but I'd prefer maybe not to. Wait, I'll tell you a sort of weird story.
Go on.
So, I was in Germany about a month ago, and I was over there teaching drama with, actually, Aisling, who's in Tinder with me, was over there, and there was two other facilitators. We were doing this like theatre programme, and on the last night, I think it was because we all had like some form of hay fever, we bought these like what do you call them, antihistamines over there, and we'd all taken them on the last day or whatever. But we woke up on the last morning and I was like, geez, I have had the mentalest dreams. And everyone else had nightmares that night, everyone, all four of us, right? Yeah. And I was house sitting back in Dublin at the time, and I had this weird dream about the house, and it was haunted and all this kind of stuff. And I was in a particular, the dream was I was in this particular room, and someone was whispering in my ear, and it was really freaky, and it was all freaked out, right? Woke up going, oh God, will I even be able to go back to this house? And, you know, laughing and joking. And I arrived home that night to the house that I was going to.
Yeah.
And there was a dead bird in the driveway. And I kind of felt, I was convinced. It was like something from, you know, the crows or what?
Oh, the birds.
Yeah, the birds.
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. And it was just, it was in my path. Like, I couldn't, like, it was like as if someone had just killed this bird and put it right in front of me. And I was like, oh my God. What is this? So yeah, if there's any dead birds in the Olympia, I won't be on.
I feel like planting one.
I'll be out the door.
Okay, well listen, all the details, where can we find them, and where can we get tickets? The normal
get
places.
Tickets on the Olympia or ticketmaster.ie, and we are running from the 20th to the 24th of August, and there's two shows on the Saturday. There is six or half six, and then a 9 p.m. show as well. It's great fun, it's a good night out, don't miss it because it's great crack.
Thanks a million back in. It's great that the show is back as well, isn't that just means that it's been a great success first time around as well. And sure, you never know, might be third time lucky, might come back a third time as well.
You never know.
Thanks so much for coming in. There is Emer Morrissey, Tinder, a musical comedy on at the Olympia between the 20th and the 24th of August. It's something for the weekend on Classic Hits.